Okay, we're going to speak about the mitzvah of Shemitah. It's very easy to get into Amun about in this week's parasha. We speak about Parnasa. What an important thing for us to talk about right now. People are stressing about their Parnasa. So therefore, we're going to talk about the inyan of not stressing about your Parnasa. Mitzvah Shemitah. It's just you raise your hands to Hashem. It's the craziest thing. Could you imagine that? Taking an entire year off and working. I've seen it. I've been to a moshav where they just sit and learn. They go to kolal. There's a base medrash. Packed with people, damn packed with people learning. No one's working. They're just leaving their fields fallow, I think is the word that they use. And there's many different things that we can learn from this. One of the things that you have to learn, the Chinuch writes, and that is a person should remember that it's not because of our ingenuity or because of our ownership of the lands. We raise our hands to heaven and we say, Hashem, this is your land. What's the song about? Raise up your hentalach, the tati and himel. That means I raise my hands. Hashem, I'm stopping to work. I realize this is your land and it's not because of us. And one of the things that a person has to remember is that our relationship with the land is one that the land does not belong to us. It belongs to Hashem. And it's actually never says anywhere in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, a lashon of Eretz Yisrael. It speaks about the land a lot. But it speaks about the land in reference to Hashem, Eretz Asher Eine Hashem Elokecha Ba. They reishis Ashana and Acharis Shana. This is Hashem's land. And we have to appreciate that and respect it as that, which means keep the laws. And one of the laws is the law of Shemitah. And that's one of the things that we have to realize, that everything is really from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to this amazing story. I'll tell you a beautiful story. It's brought here in a very nice sefer, which is as follows. There was one time, there was an Arab, and he was driving a brand new car. And he got to the Gvul between Eretz Yisrael and Jordan, and he wanted to go to Jordan. So the people that were there, they checked the car and everything. It seemed like everything's good. They're ready to let him go through into Jordan. And he's about to go through, and all of a sudden, the commander of this post pulls up at that very moment. So commander's here. They're not going to let anyone through until they see what the commander wants. The commander checks the car and says, is this your car? He says, it's my car. He says, I'd like to see the registration on the car. He checks the registration, and lo and behold, the car is stolen. Now, it's not normal to check registration on every single car. So the people that were there, the guards that were standing at this checkpoint, they asked him, how did you know that the car was stolen? Where'd you come from? He says, it's very simple. He said, I noticed the bumper sticker says, Ein Oid Melvadoi. I never saw an Arab that had a bumper sticker, a brand new car that says Ein Oid Melvado. I figured probably the car was stolen. Now, what's the story about the car? See, this guy that owned the car was not a frum person. And he told the story afterwards that he was once giving these yeshiva bachim this a ride, and they were shepherding him. Maybe you should come listen to a shir, you should learn some Torah. And he's like, I don't want to learn Torah, I don't listen to a shir. They said, listen, at least put a bumper sticker on your car that says Ein Oid Melvado. That way, every time you come out to your car, you'll remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it'll be a shmirah for your car. He said, okay, I'm willing to put the bumper sticker on. He put on the bumper sticker, and lo and behold, it was taka, a shmirah for his car. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us. And we just have to remember that everything depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Shemitah in particular. We're basically taking an entire year. We're not planting. Do you know how crazy that is in an agricultural country? I mean, back nowadays, so we could import things from other places, and we have better ways of storing things. There's no refrigeration, my friends. There's no import. You're just sitting there, and you're just allowing all your crops to go to pot. And what are you doing that for? Because we rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide for us. Now, there's another idea. It's a beautiful idea in the Sefer Tzurar Hamor. Why is it that we all have to do this? And I want to put my spin on it exactly the way that he says it is. It's important for every person once every 7 years to feel like a beggar. Once every 7 years, everyone should feel like a beggar. And you could say it one way. And the one way is in order to be able to identify with the ani, with a poor person who doesn't know where his next hot meal is going to come from. And when he's coming to your door, you should know how he feels. You should be able to relate to that. So once every 7 years, you don't know where your food's coming from. You feel like a beggar. But I want to say it perhaps just a little bit different. It's just the same type of thing. But once every 7 years, a person should feel like he's desperate for food. You know, Baruch Hashem, for most of the time while I was sitting and learning in Kollel, you know, I wasn't like desperate, like nervous. Once I took this tremendous burden on myself of this, it's like a close $2 million budget where I have to, I'm trying to think to myself, oh my gosh, where am I going to get the money from? I get desperate. I start like freaking out until I realize, you know what? Hashem's going to take care of me. Hashem's going to take, and it was very healthy for me to be able to have that. And it's a process we all have to go through, which is bug ourselves out. Like, what's going to be this year? Where am I going to get food from? Am I going to starve? And then we realize Hashem's going to help us. So every person, lots of people have got a lot of, you know, security. And nowadays you get insurance. You get, like, back in the day, by the way, my great, great grandfather was a very wealthy man. But guess what? He had a fire and everything he owned burnt to the ground. He didn't have insurance. There was no such thing as insurance. So you always were at the mercy of Hashem. Nowadays, everyone thinks that they can have insurance. They got their money insured. This FDIC money. And they got their house insured. They got medical insurance. Everything is to have insurance to make sure that I'm not at the mercy of anyone. But we are at the mercy of Hashem. I happen to know personally someone who lost over $400 million in a bank. It was in a bank. You think that the bank, you know, makes solid money, right? Gone. All the money. The bank folded. And the bank wouldn't honor its whatever, the FDIC. It was actually a foreign bank. And they said, I'm sorry, you don't live here. We don't have to honor this, whatever the insurance is. Zygesund, $400 million. Down the drain, just like that. So we think that we can be secure. No one is secure. And we have to remember that we always have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So once every 7 years, let go of the reins. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu drive the bus. And that's perhaps one of the main things that we have when we speak about the idea of Shemitah, is realizing that really everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it will totally change the way we work, my friends. It'll change our work habit. It'll change our work ethic. It'll change our work habit. We don't have to work so hard. We hustle, we move, we take one job and another job. And Hashem wants you to get the money, you're going to get the money. Hashem wants you to get the money, you're going to get the money. So, like, stop working like such an animal. Relax. Spend some time with your family. Spend some time learning and davening. It'll change our work habits. It'll also change our work ethic. You know, no one can touch money that Hashem gives to me. And if even you think you can touch it, you can't touch it. So therefore, I don't have to, like, get cutthroat with people. I don't have to cheat. I don't have to lie. Hakol min hashamayim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of me. I don't got to worry about you. So you're going to try to take my money away? I'm not nervous about it. So my work ethic changes. My work habits change. You know, in the secular world, they promote working hard and working like and being working like a dog, and the guy worked day and night. And we don't promote that. Hashem wants you to get the money. You figure out how much time is considered to be enough ishtadlus. And the rest of the time, spend with your family. Spend with Hashem. And that's what we promote. That's called good work habits. And work ethic is, even if something, I'll tell you a great story about Ruvi Shron. I heard this from Rabbi Yoshev's Gabbai. One of Rabbi Yoshev's Gabbayim told me this story, that Ruvi Shron had an opportunity to make a business deal. The business deal was, there was a shul in somewhere in Manhattan, this old broken down shul that was barely being used or not being used. And he had the opportunity to take it over and build high risers. Now, if you know how much real estate is worth in Manhattan, you know that he stands to make tens of millions of dollars on this deal. Because it's, the buildings. And he said, so the shaila was, can he just move the shul somewhere else? He'll build a nice, fancy shul for sure, knock down the shul, build up high risers, and move the shul somewhere else. The shaila was asked to Rabbi Yoshev. And Rabbi Yoshev said, which means if the one who asked the Shiloh is Shron, tell him it's better not to do it. And he explained, Alpi Halacha, maybe it's okay. But someone who lives on such a high madrega of Amunah, like Ruvi Shron, who knows Parnassus Min HaShemayim, so what, I'm going to start doing something that's like a little hanky-panky? I'm not doing it. I'll get my money. I don't have to worry. I don't have to start cutting corners. I don't have to start like missing davening. I don't have to sacrifice my integrity or my principles in order to make money. I'll get my money. Trust me, I know a lot of millionaires, young guys that can barely write their name. There's a lot of older millionaires that never went to college. So a lot, there's a lot, it's a bunch of phooey. People tell you, no, nowadays you need to go to college, or back in the day you needed to go to college. It's a bunch of phooey. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't a place for college. I'm not saying it's not a place for college. That's a whole different discussion for a different time. But I am saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you parnasa. And a person has to remember, and there's plenty of people that they have college educations and they're fancy schmancy lawyers and nothing. And there's plenty of people that don't have any of these things. And Baruch Hashem, they have tremendous, tremendous hatzlacha. I'm going to share with you one, just one last story, a beautiful story about appreciating how everything is Min HaShemayim. There was once these two friends, they both went to yeshiva together, and they both decided they wanted to be accountants. Now, so it was, one of them, his name is Yaakov. Yaakov is very matzliach, being an accountant, got a job right away in a good firm, solid job. You know, you don't become like fabulously wealthy being an accountant, but he had a solid job, support his family. His friend, Moshe Aaron, bounced from job to job, just couldn't get it together. And Moshe Aaron and Yisrael and Moshe Aaron were good friends. So therefore, Yaakov, not Yisrael. So Yaakov worked really hard to try to find a job, and he hustled here and there. He was doing anything to find his good buddy, Moshe Aaron. He was a good friend. Anyway, so what happened was, eventually, the firm that he was working at, so they were looking to hire another. Great. You could possibly mute your phones. Mute that. Mute that, my friend. Mute that. Thank you. In his firm, they were looking to hire someone else. And he said, this is a perfect opportunity for me to get my friend a job. So he hustled into the owner of the company and the owner of this corporation, whatever. And he told him, I got a friend. He's a great guy. And I think he's great for the job. Maybe you could hire him. And they did. They hired him. Yaakov took care of his buddy, Moshe Aaron. Anyway, before long, the owner of this firm decided that he wants to retire. He has to give the firm over to someone to become partner. Now, Yaakov's been in this firm for a long time, and he's working really hard. And he was pretty sure he was going to get that position. But then his friend, Moshe Aaron, came into his office one day and said, I think we should drink a l'chaim, because I just became partner. Yaakov did not become partner. Now, Yaakov's been working really hard to get his friend a job here and there. Took him into his own corporation, only to be like outdone by his friend. That was rough skis. He was having a hard time coming to terms with it. Having a hard time how his friend could take the job over him. And he was really struggling with it. One day his rough came over to him and said to him, like, you look like, you know, something's really bothering you. What's on your mind? Maybe share it with me. And he shared with him his problem. And the Rav said, listen, you know, I want to tell you, Chazal tell us, no one can touch someone else's parnasa, even the smallest bit. And if this is meant to be his parnasa, he got it. If it's meant to be yours, Hashem would have given it to you. So there's no reason to be angry. Maybe he gave you, maybe your job is lower position. Maybe he's going to work really hard. Maybe he's going to make more money, but you can sit and learn. You can spend time with your family and embrace it. And you know, he embraced it. He did. And he went on with his life, and he stayed in a similar type of position. He had enough money to support his family, but nothing lavish. Anyway, his son, who was an excellent Talmud Chacham, again, he spent a lot of time learning with his son because he had some extra time. He wasn't a partner. He was being read a shidduch to a fabulously big Baal Tzedakah. Who was it? None other than his friend, Moshe Aaron. His son married Moshe Aaron's daughter. At the wedding, his Rav came over to him and says, you see, there's nothing to be afraid about. Now you have your friend. He's going to be supporting your son in Kailo. All that time that he was working, he was really working for you. He was really working for you. And we have to realize that everything that happens is Min HaShemayim. Because Baruch Hu knows what's best for us to have parnasa. We have to learn how to rely on him. We have to learn how to let go of the reins. That's what the Chiddush, the Parsha of Shemitah is telling us. The Parsha of Shemitah, they're called people that have tremendous emunah. I'm trying to remember the lashon, but emunah of the people that shomrei shemitah are considered to be oisid dvar l'shmaya v'kol dvaroi, the giborei chayil, people of tremendous strength. Because here's where you're testing your emunah for real. I'm allowing my field to grow fallow. Is it going to work? And we've seen over many, many generations, numerous stories about Koimemias, which is an amazing moshav that kept Shemitah and all the miracles that happened to them and other people that kept Shemitah. So Shemitah is a very, very important idea. So now that we're in our own Shemitah, my friends, those of you that are working or those of you that are their parents are working or supposed to be working, we're basically in a Shemitah. We can't work right now. But now we had to raise up our hands and say, Hashem, I know you got our best in mind. Hashem, I know you got my back. This is our Shemitah, my friends. And you can encourage your family that way on this Shabbos or this week that we're living through Shemitah. Realize that Parnasa comes min HaShemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of every single one of us. And Beis Hashem with Siyata Dishmaya, in the schus of our Amun and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us all a Shefa of Bracha Hatzlacha. And Beis Hashem Gesund Parnasa Nachas Ala Gita Zachin. My friends, thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great night.